My favorite verses, and if I was going to give any advice to the young people here, it's easy to be, and I wrote this in some of your cards. I tried not to write the same thing in every card, but the reality is it's easy to get distracted. It's easy to kind of move into the next chapter of your life and to get distracted by things that are apart from or separate from Christ. It's easy to lose your focus and get just caught up in a lot of different things. It doesn't really matter what they are, but they distract you from your focus, which should be on Christ. And so when you're thinking about living the Christian life, the key to it, in my opinion, is having this mindset that it's not me, it's Christ that's going to work in me. My part in it is to keep my eyes focused on him, keep my eyes lifted up. And when I'm doing that, then his Spirit can work through me to accomplish the life that he wants for me. So when your eyes are focused on everything around you, whatever it is, it can be good things, it can be bad things, but when you get caught up in those things, then your eyes aren't fixed on him, then you're not going to be living the life that he has for you. So this song is based on the verse, "Yet not I, but Christ in me." He says, "In the life that I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Can you hear this? What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken. For by my side, the Savior, he will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing. For in my need, his power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon. And he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and never is my plea. Oh, the chains are released and I sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day, I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. to him. When the race is complete and my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Hey, Father, thank you for your son. Thank you for these graduates. Thank you that we have the opportunity to celebrate them today. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we know how this story ends, that we know why we're here, what our purpose is here for. We know where we're going. We know where we came from. And that's all because of the truth we can find in your word. Pray that we could just enjoy this time with our graduates here this morning, that it would be uplifting, that it would bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as I was running to the holiday this morning to get some ice for some of the beverages that I have in my fancy coolers, which are Rubbermaid totes, I have a couple of coolers in the back, and I think I saw a few of you bring some coolers into the fellowship hall with some beverages. So afterwards, we can't exchange food, but we can have a beverage together, share some time of fellowship, and catch up with some of the young people here that maybe we haven't seen for a bit. And so there'll be some beverages available afterwards. But as I was trying to make the run to my car from the apartment and was getting absolutely drenched, I was thinking maybe the song to sing this morning would have been Praise You in the Storm. And you know, that would have been just as good for you young people, as I was thinking about songs that you could relate to and songs that might have some significance to your life. You know, life is full of storms. And the storm we had this morning was no different. But when our hearts are full of joy, when our hearts are fixed on, when our eyes are fixed on Christ and our hearts are being influenced by His Spirit, we can have joy even in storms. And life is going to be full of storms. Like, you're not sure what it's going to be yet. I can look at each one of you and I can tell you your life is going to be full of storms. And it's going to be a question of, am I going to trust myself to get through those? Am I going to have my focus on the Lord? Well, this morning we celebrate our graduates. We've got them here. Well, there's a couple that couldn't make it. I just want to acknowledge them here first, too. Spencer Gunderson is a young man who is Terry and Dan's grandson. He's been a part of this church on and off as a youngster. He came out to a lot of our events and a lot of our things, and so he's got a box down here on the end. He couldn't be with us tonight because he lives out of state in Kentucky. And then Nathan Weifel's been a big part of a lot of our VBS and camps, and he's visited a lot, been a part of this church. Two, he couldn't be here either tonight or today. And so he's got a box over there, too. All the addresses were emailed to you. All the addresses are posted in the back. But I'm thankful that some of them could be here with us today. So we'll have them each come up and say a few things if they're willing. And if they're not, we won't shame them. We won't shame them much. You know what? I think it was Eric who was giving us a talk on this. Maybe it was Chaz. Someone was speaking at the youth retreat about fear, and they had come up with some, you know, some research or what have you. They had done some Googling, I guess, and come up with that public speaking was right up near the top of the number one fear that a lot of people have, that they're just not that gung-ho about it. I'll just tell you this, as you're thinking about it, as you're sitting there maybe dreading it, we're all family here, so whatever you say, however disjointed or nonsensical it even might be, that's all fine. We're all family. No matter what you say, it's going to be good. We just want to kind of put you on the spot a little bit and look at you and celebrate you a little bit, so don't be worried about that. Now, we're celebrating them as young adults that we love and care for. So when we talk about celebrating graduates, we're celebrating them as young adults because we care so much about them. We're excited for them as they're starting a new chapter in their lives. We celebrate them as brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, of course, only God knows that, but from my personal interactions with them over the years, I believe they're saved. And so we can celebrate them as brothers and sisters in Christ who we've been privileged to watch them grow up over the years, and now they're young adults. And sometimes that's kind of shocking when you look at young people that have gone from being kids to being young men and women. And that's exciting. We celebrate them and their own individual personalities. We celebrate how God wants to use them in their own unique ways and how they don't have to be just like one another. And in fact, as they speak, or just from what you know of them, you know they're not like one another. They're each very different. They have their own personality. They've gone through their own trials. They've gone through their own difficulties. They've had to learn life differently because their lives have all been unique. Now, this morning, we celebrate them more than we celebrate their accomplishments. I hope that comes across. We're celebrating you, not the fact that you graduated from high school. The fact of the matter is that that's kind of expected. I hate to take anything off of it, but it's a lot of work and going through school for all those years, but the reality is we're trying, you know, most kids get to that point where they can graduate from high school. So this is more a celebration of you and just how much you've meant to us as a church family than it is a celebration of graduating from high school. Now, there's a few thoughts that I wanted to share with you before asking each of you to share a few words with us. And for those of you who didn't see it, I actually had prepared a message that would have probably taken us 2 hours to get through. So I just printed those notes off and gave them to them individually, and I cut a lot of it out for your sake. So we're going to kind of keep an eye on the clock here, and I just want to try to say a few things, though, that I think would be encouraging from the Word of God. The number one thing that I want to say today, and I took out everything else, is this. If I had any advice for you from the Word of God, it would be simply this: remember the Lord. You would think it's easy, that's something that's obvious, but it's very easy to forget. It's easy when you're in a circumstance of difficulty to forget the Lord. It's easy when you're in a circumstance of plenty or things are going well to forget the Lord, saying, I've got this under control. I have the world by the tail. I've got things figured out. I don't need the Lord. I can do this on my own. So in either circumstance, it's easy to forget the Lord. And you just have to talk to a few of your friends and parts of your church family here and ask them about how easy it is to do that, to get distracted, to forget your first love, in a sense, forget the Lord. So there's a couple of aspects of remembering the Lord that I wanted to go through. Let's see if we can get this PowerPoint up so everyone else can see some of these verses too. Okay, well, I didn't go fast enough with the whole PowerPoint here. So at some point, we'll get this back online. The first aspect of remembering the Lord, though, and you have it in your notes, the young people anyway, and ultimately this is about you as much as anyone else. This is your day. Okay, we'll celebrate you. The first part is remember what you have been taught about him. So when you're talking about remembering the Lord, remember what you have been taught about him is the first thing. And the passage that we can turn to is Proverbs 3, 1 through 7. So I'll give people time to turn to that. Proverbs 3, 1 through 7. So when we're talking about remembering the Lord, this first part, remember what you have been taught about him. And here's a number of things that we can glean from this passage. Proverbs 3, 1 through 7 says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now, frankly, I probably should have just picked this passage because there's so much in here, but we'll try to go through it kind of quickly. As you're looking at this passage, and this is eventually going to turn back on, this is instruction to young people. My son, you see that as it starts out? Now, when you think about, remember what you've been taught about the Lord. Well, that's his first instruction here. Do not forget my law. Well, it has to be told to you because it is easy to forget God's law. But let your heart keep my commands and what's associated with that. Well, length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. You talk about wanting to have peace. Is it fun when your life feels like you're not, you don't know what's coming next, or you feel like you're anxious about things, or you feel uncertain about things? And many of you may feel that right now. You've experienced a certain chapter of life, and now you're turning the page from one chapter to the next chapter. And you know what? That feeling isn't all that pleasant. You may be looking forward to it, but you have that chaos and uncertainty of what happens next. The things that I've known, the things that I've been so comfortable with for so long, now those things are being shaken up. They're being changed around me. And so you talk about peace. Well, if you want to have peace in all of that, it starts with remembering what you've been taught about the Lord. Do not forget the Lord. And it says, do not forget my law. Keep your heart on my commandments. Now, when you look at the next phrase or the next part of this, you see this. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. These are things that you were taught from the Word of God about God's tender loving kindness and compassion, his deep love for you. Well, don't forget that. Don't forsake that truth. How do you identify what's false? By focusing on what's true. You don't identify what's false by studying what's false. You identify what's false by remembering what's true, remembering what you've been taught from the Word of God. Now, what should you do with that truth? Well, bind them around your neck. Put them on a gold chain around your neck. You think of that as a picture. A lot of people, you know, they like jewelry. And even it might be one of these things that certain types of subcultures or whatever emphasize having a lot of gold chains or things like that. Well, if you're going to put a heavy gold chain around your neck, don't have it be some kind of memento that's on there. Have it be this truth, figuratively in your mind. Have it be the idea of God's truth actually written and hung around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Can you picture that? On my very heart, the core of essence of who I am, to write these truths on my heart, the tablet of your heart. Because you're going to fill your heart up with writing. You're going to write various things on it in terms of priorities, preferences, things that you like, things that you're all about, things that are going to be important to you or not be important to you. Those are going to be the things that are written on your heart. Your mental command center is what the Bible's talking about when it's talking about your heart. Things are going to be written on there, and it's going to influence your whole life based on the things that you write there. Well, the advice that's being given here is write God's truth onto that tablet and keep writing it on there so it doesn't get filled up with other things. But here I want to get to the end of the verse here. Here's a bunch of things. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Most of you have learned this verse. What's the next one? So that's one. Lean not on your own understanding. That's two. In all your ways acknowledge him. That's three. The outcome of that, he will direct your paths while that's happening. Next advice, do not be wise in your own eyes. That's four. Fear the Lord. That's five. And depart from evil. That's six. Now, I'm not going to go into all that, but look at that list. These are, if you wanted to have a roadmap for success in your life, here's a bunch of them. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't trust human wisdom. Trust the wisdom and the truth that comes from this book. Lean not on your own understanding. Have your dependence on the Lord. Have your focus and your fixation on him. Be walking in dependence on him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Don't make your life about you. About how you can promote yourself, how you can live to lift yourself high. Have your life be about living to lift Christ high. And when that's true, he will direct your path. Sometimes you might say, well, I've gotten off track. I don't know how I got to where I got to. And the reality is it's because these first three things weren't true. if you were trusting the Lord with all your heart, if you were leaning not on your own understanding, and if you were acknowledging him in all your ways, you wouldn't find yourself in a place that you don't even recognize, that you're saying to yourself, how did I get here? Well, you got here by trusting in your own thinking, the world's advice, the world's wisdom, your own human intellect. And so you didn't take advantage of the benefit of doing these three things. If you do these three things, it says, he shall direct your path. Not he might, he shall direct your paths. And then these last three are pretty packed too. Do not be wise in your own eyes. It's about being humble and saying, Lord, I don't know everything. I don't know what's best for myself, but I trust that you have a plan for me and that you know what's best for me. Fear the Lord. Have an appropriate respect for the Lord. Put him on a high pedestal in your thinking. Don't subject him to the underneath your seat in your car where you toss your Bible, you know, and you keep it hidden there or it's covered with dust because you never crack the pages. And the last part is depart from evil. In other places in the Bible, we can say flee from evil. Sometimes you think as a child of God, you know what? I see so many things around me that look so tempting. I'm not sure what they're all about, but I know that maybe I've avoided some of this due to my parents' oversight. Maybe some of you haven't. But there's things that maybe seem tempting, and you say, well, I know that these are probably bad for me, but I need to figure this out for myself. Maybe if I just snuggle up to them a little bit. Like not fully like bear hug them, but just maybe like snuggle myself up to them a little bit, just get in proximity to them a little bit. Maybe I can just dabble in this a little bit, and maybe it'll be something that won't hurt me too badly. Maybe I can have the best of both worlds, where I can have my cake and eat it too. I can experience it a little bit without it fully consuming me. You know, there's plenty of people, in fact, every single person in this room who's older than you, who thought that about something in some part, in some aspect of their lives, and they figured out it doesn't work that way. A little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. And that's the, kind of the idea there when it's talking about flee from evil. Now, what's another thing to remember in terms of remembering the Lord? Well, remember what he has done and continues to do for you. And I want to look at this passage, Titus 3, 4 through 7. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now there's two things here. Obviously, when you talk remembering what he has done for you and what he continues to do for you. The first part of it, of course, is this. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. It has nothing to do with us, but according to his mercy, undeserved kindness, he saved us. Saved us from what? Saved us from the hell we deserve to the heaven we don't. Now, I know many of you have heard the gospel many times, but the reality is the first thing you need to remember about the Lord is that he saved you, that he provided you a heaven that you don't deserve. He saved us. And when you're living in of the sacrifice and how amazing the sacrifice that he has for you is, you're going to be able to avoid many of the pitfalls that you otherwise wouldn't avoid. Why? Because when you see the value, when you see how much he sacrificed for you, the gratitude that you'll feel for the Lord in the moments when you're thinking about him saying, I love you this much. When you think about him hanging on a cross and saying, I loved you this much. I gave up heaven for you. I bankrupt heaven to come and die a death I did not deserve so that I could die that death for you. And all you did was accept what I already did for you. But you think about the measure in which different people love you. God has loved you and demonstrated that love for you to an extent that is so much greater than what anyone else could sacrifice for you. The God of heaven, the sovereign God of the universe said, I love you this much, and his hands were nailed to a cross for you. Now some of you say, well, he didn't have to forgive that much sin for me because I've been pretty good. And I know you know that any amount of sin still needed to be taken care of. But sometimes I think, you know, he loved me, but he didn't have to love me that much because I was kind of lovable to begin with. That's just not true. We would only have to just poll your parents a little bit about how unlovable you can be at times. So when you're living in light of what he's done for you past tense, how he died to save you, then you come forward and you see this part here. having been justified by his grace. This is now, this has already happened. This is continues to happen in the sense that it was a point in time that you put your faith in Christ and what he did for you. That moment you were born into his family. But what happened because of that? You became an heir. A child of God, a child of somebody else is their heir. Meaning you inherited all of the blessings that come from being a part of that family. Now, in this earth, we generally have to wait till our parents die to inherit from them. But in God's case, he said, the moment you put your faith in me, you became my heir, and you inherited all of the blessings that came from that position in my family. All of the blessings. You can just read through this book and find blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. That you could be called a son or daughter of God. And so there's two sides to it. He's done so much for you in the past. You need to remember that. Have that on the launching pad of your thinking. And then thinking about what he continues to do for you because children. And we'll flash through these next two here about this. But this is what I wanted. Most of you know this. I'm trying to cover verses you've heard before. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. That already happened if you put your trust in Christ. And what comes? Because of that, we'll go in and out and find pasture. Anyone who believes will go in and out and find pasture, meaning that the Lord provides. This mic keeps cutting on. The Lord will be providing for you. It's not just that he saved you from the penalty of sin. It's that he continues to provide what you need. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life. Not life in the future, one day I can finally experience life, but that you could have life right now. That you could be saved from the hell you deserve to the heaven you don't. That's in the past. That gave you life. But now God is saying, I came that I could provide for you, give you everything you need, bless you with every spiritual blessing, so you could live life right now. And living for yourself isn't living life. The only way that you can live life is to have an occupation with him. And that they may have it more abundantly, not just life, but abundant life. Like you can just live life, you can just survive, you can just chase after all the dead end roads that the world chases after, and there is pleasure in sin for a season. And so you may find some modicum of joy in some of those choices. I'm not saying that you won't. You will temporarily. You'll also reap what you sow in a sense that there's consequences associated with making bad choices. But God says, why do that? I have this abundant life planned for you. One more verse there. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So when we're talking about what he continues to do for you, he gives you the opportunity to experience a new life, an abundant life in him. And any path that you take that's separate from the path that he has chosen for you, going to be second rate. It may not be awful by the world standards. To the extent that you're somewhat receptive to him in it, it may actually be somewhat good because he's a merciful and gracious God. He may still use you even though you're choosing something that's second rate. But there's no way to improve upon being in his will and walking the path that he has laid out for you. And that's why when you get to a place where you're not sure about anything else, you're not sure what the future holds. You're not sure about any of the people around you, all the circumstances around you. But you're convinced that your eyes are focused on the Lord, that you're sensitive to how he wants to work inside of you. You can't improve upon that. Right where you are right then, being in God's will, knowing that you're willing to let him use you, there's no way to improve on that. And everyone else may be telling you, well, your life doesn't have purpose. Why is your life not moving forward? Why are you not acquiring all these things that are signs of success? Why is your life not successful? And you can, in your own heart, know that my life is successful because I'm occupied with him and I'm following the will and the plan and the purpose that he has for me. You can't improve on that. And I can tell you that that's true. There's plenty of things that I've accomplished and people are something to look up to or aspire to. And God was gracious, God was merciful, God used me even in some of those circumstances. But there's been a lot of other times where I was absolutely convinced, some of them were spending time with you. There have been times when I've been at Bible camp with you, where I was absolutely convinced that in that moment I was exactly where I was supposed to be, that I was doing exactly what the Lord had for me, that I wasn't resisting him, I wasn't fighting him, I wasn't preventing him from doing what he wanted to do in me. And in that moment with you at Bible camp, there's been times where I couldn't improve on anything. My life was abundant in that sense. It was absolutely full in that sense. Because in that moment, at least, I was willing to be living life on God's terms instead of fitting him in where it was convenient on my terms. And, you know, that's what most people end up doing, just fitting God in where it's convenient on their terms instead of living life on his terms. Now, another thing to remember about the Lord is what he thinks of you, what he thinks about you. 1 John 3, 1 through 2 says this, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know him." Think about this. Just focus on that phrase for a second. As you're remembering the Lord, if you're remembering that you're a child of God, that's the solution for almost everything. Remembering your position in his family. Instead of thinking of yourself as a failure, instead of wallowing in your sin and your mistakes and saying, "Man, I really got this so messed up. I'm such a failure. I can't, how did I get here? Why did I act like this? Why did I make these choices?" And the fact of the matter is you can focus on your mistakes or your errors, or you could focus on your sin, or you could focus on the fact that I'm a child of God. God needs to be allowed to work inside of me to change me and change my direction, but I'm a child of God. And if you're looking at yourself as a child of God, an heir of heaven, if you're looking at yourself as somebody who's dearly beloved by him, that's going to affect how you see yourself, and how you see yourself is going to affect the choices that you ultimately make. Because if you're living in light of eternity and you're saying, "I'm a child of God," instead of identifying as something else, a basketball player, you know, some of you know I'm quite a baller, you know, but Peyton, you know, Ethan, Blazin, a couple of basketball players here, you can identify as some of those things, or you could identify as somebody who's supposed to be really smart, or somebody who's supposed to be very kind, or somebody who's supposed to be the life of the party. So you can start to take on these identities that other people push on you. That's not your identity. Your identity, if you've put your trust in Christ, is that you're a child of God. A couple other verses about being about what Christ thinks of you, or what God thinks of you. "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." I mean, think about continuing in God's love for you. This is talking about Christ's love because he's mimicking the Father's love, but the reality is that God loves you, and he demonstrated that through his sacrifice for you on the cross. Here's another one that I think is just great. Ephesians 2, 4 through 9 says this, "But God, who is rich in mercy," now catch this, "because of his great love with which he loved us." Now, when we were lovable? No, when we were unlovable. "Even when we were dead in trespasses," what did he do? "He made us alive together with Christ." Are you kidding? When you were dead, God loved you anyway, and he made you alive. He took what was dead and he gave it life. And you know, the easiest thing is when you talk about, you know, the saying that I love so much is any dead fish can float downstream with the current. You can go along with the current of the world around you and easily be conformed into a copy of everyone else around you. But it takes a live fish to swim against the current. And God is calling for you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And he made you alive. He made you a live fish so that you could resist the current that's trying to drag you in a different direction. "By grace you have been saved and raised." What did he do? He raised us up together. "He made us sit together in the heavenly places." I mean, it's just on and on and on. "That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness towards us." God has a kindness towards you, a love towards you, a concern for you. He's an intimate and personal God, and maybe you haven't seen that yet. Maybe you're going to need more trials in your life. Maybe he's going to need to put more obstacles in your place, or allow obstacles to be in your path, so that you see just how much he cares for you, just how much he's for you. He's not against you. He's intimately concerned about your success. He wants you to succeed. God is not against you. He's not mad at you. He's not disappointed in you. You haven't gone too far from him. You haven't strayed so far that he doesn't care for you anymore. The whole time he's like the prodigal son's father with his arms outstretched, looking in your direction, saying, turn back to me, turn back to me, turn back to me, turn your eyes and your attention to me. I want to have this relationship with you. Now he's not going to force it on you, but he's ready and he's waiting and he's hoping and he's pursuing and he's seeking after you and he wants you to change your thinking and turn your mind back to him. And then we know this verse, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But when you think about what he thinks of me, he gave you this heavenly position as a princess or a prince of heaven, because you're a son of the king. You're a daughter of the king. You're royalty. That's what God thinks about you. Psalm 139, 16 through 17, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. That's how much God cares about you. Before you were even formed, his eyes were upon you. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. This, talk to me more about this if you don't understand this afterwards. God had a plan for you before you were even born. That's what this is talking about. There were no days that had existed for you yet, but yet God still had this plan for you. He had days that were fashioned for you. How precious also are your thoughts to me. How great is the sum of them. Now, who are they directed to? To me. That God's thoughts, this is a really nice drawing. God's thoughts are directed toward you. He has this intimate concern for you. And that's not going to work. Yeah, I got carried away there. And this is another verse that says the same thing about God's care for you. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than the sparrows. And that's where that song comes from that says, I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrows, so I know he watches me. I know he cares for me, is how the other verse goes. Now, the last thing, and I know you thought this is the short version. The last thing is, when you talk about remembering the Lord, it's remember what his will is for you. Remember what his will is for you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body's a living sacrifice. Now, what would that look like? This is the will. Present your body's a living sacrifice. This is not out of obligation. This is out of a sense of gratitude for what God has done for you. Now, what would that look like? Well, it would be holy, and it would be acceptable to God. Now, that is your reasonable service. That's not what you're obligated to do. This is what you would do in recognition of how great God's sacrifice for you was. Now, how does that play out? What does that look like? And I've already touched on this, so I'm not going to cover it much. Do not be conformed to this world. But what's the alternative? Be transformed. And I wrote this in most of your cards. Do not be conformed, but be transformed. Those are the choices. You can be molded and modeled into a replica of the world system. That's Satan's world. You can be molded into something that looks exactly like that, that is not promoting the things of Christ, that is promoting the things of the opposition forces. Or you can be transformed. And how does that happen? By the renewing of your mind. So when you go off to do your own thing, and you don't put any of this into your mind, you don't pray at all, you don't read your Bible at all, you don't talk to anybody about the Lord, you don't go to any youth fellowship groups or get into any college age groups, you don't go to church, you don't listen to any stuff online, you don't put any of this into your thinking, you don't renew your mind at all, are you going to be able to experience what God has for you, that you not be conformed? No. You're going to be conformed because you're not renewing your mind. If you want to be transformed, you have to renew your mind. What is his will for you? You are a light of the world. This is God's will for you. You think about all the things that you want to accomplish. One of them, from God's perspective, is be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The next one is, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may, why? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's why you learned one of the first songs you learned when you came to kids' stuff and Bible school stuff. And anyone want to sing it for me? Want to hold up our fingers? No? But this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine. Come on. No, I'm kidding. I'm going to let it shine. No, I'm not kidding. Love the song, right? You're a light. You have this hope, and you have this hope of what Christ has done to provide a solution for people. And so often you're going to be tempted to just take this hope and just hide it from people. And God's saying, shine, shine this hope for people so that they can hear about who I am and what I've done for them. Don't hide this. Don't put it under a bat. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm going to let it shine. And you think, that's so silly. It's as simple as childlike stuff. There's so much that you learn that the reality is it's secondary to the stuff you learned first. The stuff you learn first is the stuff that you need to meditate on. Some of the rest of it helps to build your understanding and helps to give you an answer for certain things. But the basic stuff is so simple. God doesn't want you to hide your light. And the last thing is this. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. That's God's will for you. And when you think about being an ambassador for Christ, you see if we read the verse further, it's that God were pleading through us. It's so that God can plead to the world around us, that he can plead to the world around us through us as an ambassador for him. So not being conformed, being a light, and being somebody who is an ambassador, somebody who can be a representative for the Lord in this foreign country that they're living in. You see, your citizenship is not in the United States. Your citizenship is not in this world. Your citizenship is in heaven. You're a child of God, a son or daughter of God. And God wants to look at you, and he wants to put you out into this foreign world around you. And while you're in that foreign world around you, he says, I want you to be somebody proclaiming me, proclaiming who I am and what I've done. And are there people that need to hear that message? Yes, there are. And you can selfishly have that hope locked away inside of you, or you can share that hope. You can share that hope with those around you. The Bible says that the fields are white and ready to harvest. That's not the issue. The issue, the Bible says, is that the laborers are few. There's not enough who are willing to carry out God's will for their life, which is to be a light for him, an ambassador for him, somebody who's transformed instead of conformed. So life is full of questions that ultimately dictate the value of your life. Some of them are these. Will I live for Jesus Christ? Or will I live for myself? Will I be heavenly minded, or will I be earthly minded? Will I invest in eternal things, or will I invest in temporal things? Will I redeem the time I've been given, or waste the time that I have? Will my life be worthwhile, or will my life be worthless? Will I build on the foundation of the Word of God, or am I going to build my house on the foundation of worldly wisdom? Human viewpoint, human thinking. By God's grace, you will allow the Spirit of God to be your guide as you're answering these questions. And it's not like, you know, it'd be nice that we could sit here right now. You know, I could just sit down here on the stage and we could just say, okay, we got these questions that we got to figure out. Okay? Is my life going to be worthwhile or worthless? Let's decide this first here, okay? Blazin, you're going to be first. And we'll... And we go through these questions and we'd make a determination right now. We'd say, well, I mean, I'm on the spot here, but yeah, I guess I'll choose worthwhile. Worthless doesn't sound very good. And I move on to Peyton. I say, yeah, I want to redeem the time or waste the time. And Peyton's like, well, I'm kind of on the spot here. I mean, I kind of like wasting time, truth be told. But redeem the time sounds better. We'll decide it now. And wouldn't it be great if we could make decisions right now where we could decide all these questions and then that would be it? And that we'd get to have that be what guided our lives from here forward, and we'd never have to think about these things or decide these things again. But the reality is it doesn't work that way, right? There's been times in your lives where you decided that you wanted your life to count for Christ, right? There's been times each one of you wanted to serve the Lord and took steps out by faith where you were trusting him. And there's been other times you didn't. And every day we have to make these decisions. And it's not just a one-time thing. It has to be done repeatedly. That's why it's choose you this day whom you will serve. That's why we talk about moment by moment. Every moment we have to make choices about, am I going to live for myself or am I going to live for Christ? Well, here's how this is going to work now. We're going to have a time to share. You guys are going to have a time to share. And you don't have to feel any pressure to have some amazing plans. That's not really even what it's about. If you have a moment that you're willing to just talk a little bit about how what this church maybe has meant to you or something that you learned, maybe a verse that you learned that you thought was good or a verse that has been something that you've relied on. If you didn't have one, that's fine too. If you had a plans for what you are thinking you might do going forward and you wanted to share them, you could. And if you're sitting here just saying, I feel like throwing up, I don't want to do this at all. You know what? We're not here to torture you. We're here to celebrate you. So I guess I'll just kind of start with Blaze sat closest to me here. We'll start on this end. And you can just kind of stand up there and you can opt out too, Blayson. And if you don't want to do it, that's fine too. But I think people would love to hear from you. We're all family. I know it's a little bit scary, but just kind of close your eyes. Pretend we're not here. Blayson, did you want to say something?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll shut my mic off and you can just take.
Maybe just use this one.
Here.
Hi, my name is Blayson Callio. And I wanted to share a couple Bible verses. My first one is John 3:16. This is my favorite one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. My second one is, this is the one I wrote on my basketball shoe. This is my other one. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I want to talk about how the church has impacted my life. It was very hard for me to get saved. I didn't quite understand it, how easy it was to get saved. And my Beth Nitz, she sat down with me after church and she told me, well, do you believe this chair is going to hold you up? I was like, yeah, well, that's how simple it is. And ever since then, I believe it was January 2011 on the 11th that I got saved. And from that day on, I just felt like a weight has been lifted off my shoulders. So I want to thank Gus Lehman and Stacia Lehman for coming to me, Ethan, and Cody's basketball games in Hunter. It's meant a lot to us, support us during our crappy basketball season. We're not the best team, we'll just put it that way. But, yeah. Thank you guys for coming out, and thank you.
I played plenty of crappy basketball myself, so. All right, Peyton, you're up.
Hi, my name is Peyton Weefel. I'm the son of Jason and Roxy Weefel, and I graduated from Eskel High School. Next year, I'm going to go to St. Scholastica to continue my education and basketball career. And I've made a lot of memories throughout camp and vacation Bible school and Sunday school. And I can't really pick a favorite memory, I guess, but I always loved playing kickball during vacation Bible school and playing games and lightning at night at camp and just all the activities that have taken part. I guess my favorite verse would be John 3:16. I think it's my favorite because it can be so personal. You can put your name in the verse, and it's easy to tell people, and it really gets the point across.
Okay, Emma, you're up.
Hi, my name is Emma Westby. I am the daughter of Kelly and Jody Westby. Next year, I'm going to be continuing my LPN degree at Mesabi Range College, and then the following year, I'll be going to Hibbing Community College to get my RN. My favorite verse definitely has to be Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's definitely been a verse I've always leaned on through all the trials. And then my favorite memory has to be camp because of all the encouragement that it has brought and all the friends that I've made throughout that. And I just like to thank all of the Sunday school teachers throughout the years that I've had. Thank you.
Geez, way to make it obvious. Hi, my name is Erica Westby, and my parents are Jason and Sarah Westby. My plans are just to work after high school and then see where the Lord directs me after that. My favorite verse would probably be Jeremiah 29:11. Hold on. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. And my favorite memories are just sitting at camp during the messages and realizing how much the Lord meant to me and how much I need him in my life.
All right. Hi, everyone. I'm sure most of you know me. I feel like I know a lot of you. My name is Ethan Falstrom, and I've gone to HTBC my entire life. Right now, I'm planning on attending the University of Northwestern in St. Paul and majoring in information management systems. It's basically a bunch of nerdy computer stuff, so, you know, there's that. We've got a couple favorite verses here. First one is 1 Peter 2:24. Which is, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And the second one, Gus already mentioned it, is Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed unto this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then now comes a time where I thank various people here. So first of all, Pastor Gus, I felt like really connected with you these past few months during the coronavirus and stuff, so that was awesome. I also want to thank you for playing ping pong and spikeball with me. It's always fun to have someone I can beat. So thank you, Pastor Mike, for all the fun times we've had in VBS. You know, I was kind of your IT guy, so that was fun there. I enjoyed doing that. Then my various Sunday school teachers throughout the years, you've really helped, you know, guiding me spiritually. So I felt like I've learned a lot from you, and I hope I can apply some of those concepts in my life. Any camp counselors or team captains, helpers in the kitchen, I want to thank all you. Camp has always been a, you know, really fun time in my life. I've always looked forward to it. I've made a lot of good memories there. And then lastly, I'd like to thank the entire church body. I've gotten to know a lot of you personally. I feel like I've developed a lot of relationships and friendships. And I'd like to leave you with this little saying that I've kind of adapted and I thought is kind of cool. So the saying goes, it takes a village to raise a child. And I'd like to just modify that and say, it takes a church to raise a child, and I feel like that's what you've done with me and with the rest of these graduates here. So thank you all.
Going or not? Yeah. Okay. Hannah Nygaard.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Hannah Nygaard. My father is Aaron Nygaard and my mother is Christina Nygaard. I graduated from Mesabi East High School. My future plans, I plan on going to Lake Superior College to get my AA and then hopefully go into real estate. First off, I would like to thank everybody from the church and my family and all my Sunday school teachers for helping raise me and bringing me up and through the Lord. Okay. Also, I'd like to thank my pastors too, both of them, Mike Weefel and Pastor Gus Lehman. I'd also like to thank everybody who's ever helped with VBS or camp because those are some of my best memories, other than Sunday school. And also sing time. Sing time was also my favorite because I love music and I always love singing and praising the Lord. I have two favorite verses I would like to share. The first one is Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the second is Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And I would hopefully like to find some groups in Duluth, maybe DBC, that is also connected to our church, so I can stay connected with the Lord and have friends up there who also want to live their life through Christ. I also would like to congratulate all my other fellow seniors for graduating. And that's it. Thank you.
Well, thank you all for doing that. I know it can be scary, but in any event, I'm glad you did it. And it's over now, so you can get your heart rates down. That's good. There's nothing more other than we'll end with a word of prayer here. There's, like I said, I have a couple of totes with some beverages in the back here. And then there's also, I think some people had put some coolers in the fellowship hall. So if you search enough, you could get a cold beverage to have while you fellowship. And take some time to say hi to the graduates, and let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your son. Thank you for this time that we could celebrate these young people, and pray that you would just help them to want to serve you and live lives that would lift you up, and that would be true of them, and that when they do get off track, they would just recognize where they're at, admit that their thinking's out of alignment with yours, and get back in alignment with you and allow you to be the one that provides all along the way and provides the means for living the Christian life just by having their eyes on you and letting your spirit have free reign to work inside of them. Pray that you would just have a tremendous impact, that they could be tremendous lights for you as they go off into the next chapter of their lives. Thank you for this church family and the time we could spend together today. In Jesus' name, amen.